Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Tom Kilgannon. Tom is the president of Freedom Alliance, a nonprofit that seeks to support America's military by assisting with the rehabilitation needs of wounded service members and their families, as well as care for the families of the fallen, amongst other initiatives that they take part in. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But first, Tom, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. Hey, Scott, it's great to be on the program. Thank you for having me. It's Drive On is a wonderful podcast. Lots of great information. So I'm happy to join so many of your wonderful previous guests who've just contributed so much to this important conversation. And my background is I'm a civilian, so it's doubly honored to be here with you. I'm a civilian, but I have been working in this arena of helping veterans and military families for over 20 years now. At Freedom Alliance, we're an organization, a charitable organization that is committed to helping veterans. We were founded by a Vietnam veteran. And of course, at that time in our nation's history, there was not the robust nonprofit community to support veterans as there is now. So we always keep that in mind with what we do. And we want to make sure that that never happens again in our country, that those who put on the uniform, take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, always have the resources they need in training, in the field, and after they come home, and for the families of those who don't come home. So that's a broad way of explaining what we do at Freedom Alliance, and I'm happy to get into some of the specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you kind of touched on my first question that I had for you about, you know, kind of where the idea for Freedom Alliance came from. You talked about the Vietnam veterans, but, and how they came home without the support network that was there that, you know, a lot of us, you know, have the benefit of having today with all the various nonprofits and the different support that's out there. But kind of where did the idea for Freedom Alliance come from? And I guess what was the objective, in the early days when it first started?
Sure. We were founded right about the time of the first Gulf War. And at that time, we put together a really big care package drive. We put together tens of thousands of care packages to send over to the troops who were over there. But as you know, Scott, that war, thankfully, did not last very long. And so the organization was in its infancy. The war was not on the front pages after a few months. And so from then we, continued our programs, but it was a little bit of a struggle. And then, of course, years later, 9/11 came, and we really went back to the playbook that was put together at the start of the organization and just arranged the programs a little bit differently to fit the current times. And we really took off from there. 9/11 was the start of 20 years of our nation being at war, millions of Americans like you and your brother who deployed and who sacrificed. And we have put together a number of programs to try and take care of the needs that that you and your families have. One of those is our scholarship program. And through that, we are providing college tuition to the sons and daughters of military heroes, those who have been killed or permanently disabled in military service. And Scott, I'm really, it's the kind of thing that you wish you didn't have to do, but given the need, I'm proud to tell you that we have now, since 9/11, awarded over $20 million in college scholarships. More than 2,000 individual students have benefited from this program, have been able to go to school, complete their education. And really, this is a the pursuit of a dream that their parent had for them. And military parents are no different from us in the civilian community. They want for their kids a better opportunity, better education. And this is one way that that we're able to do it.
Yeah, and that's incredible. I know, you know, when you come back, and you know, I've known several people who've been killed or have other disabilities and things like that after coming back home. And you know, financially, things are a little bit more difficult for those families in some cases, because you know they're unable to you know, do some of the things. You know, if you have a loved one who is killed, you know, you're unable to have that dual income, you know, coming in and saving money. You know, I have three children myself, and putting money aside for their college education is, you know, it's a big responsibility. It's something that you have to, you know, think about and put that money aside, you know, early on, so that way when it's, you know, invested correctly, it'll hopefully grow and be enough money for them, when they get to school. But, you know, having something like that available to those families, just, you know, it reduces that burden and makes things a little bit easier for them. And, you know, I think that's something that's important for us as a nation to come together and say, you know what, this is a good thing. You know, we should be supporting these families, and, you know, 2,000 children, like you said, have been able to go to school, you know, through these programs, and all this money going to their education is just incredible. But yeah, there's other programs too that you take part in as well, you know, and so I want to give you an opportunity to highlight some of that as well, and you know, kind of highlight some of the benefits that Freedom Alliance you know, offers to the military community.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm happy to do that. And first, I just want to expand a little bit on that scholarship program and just let people know that there's a little bit more to it than simply the tuition or providing that check to the bursar's office for that student. And what we try to do, Scott, is get involved in these kids' lives to the extent that they want us involved or allow us to be, so that we can provide mentorship and guidance and help them out. And there really is when we're able to bring these students together in an event or a retreat that we have for them, there really is a bonding that takes place almost instantaneously, because they have this very unique experience. And as I think you know, for these kids, just like with veterans, an incident or a loss, a profound loss that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, just because it happened so long ago, it doesn't mean that it's gone away or that it's erased from their memory or that it doesn't still impact them in their heart 20, 25 years later. And that's true with these students. So we really try to bring them together. And we have that, you know, it's very similar philosophy with what we do for our veterans. We do a lot of healing retreats for combat veterans to help them to discover the root causes of their emotional injury that they're dealing with many years after they have returned from combat. And so to bring them together and have them in each other's company, whether it's on a fishing trip or a hunting trip or a ski weekend or whatever it might be, and to facilitate conversation that helps them to mentor one another, be accountable to one another, really helps them along in that emotional rehabilitation. By this point, most of our veterans, not all, but many have progressed in their physical rehabilitation to the extent that they're probably going to. But the emotional rehabilitation, and what I mean by that is the moral injury, the memories, the feelings of guilt or responsibility for things that happened overseas, which don't necessarily belong to them, but they feel nonetheless. Those are the kinds of things that we're trying to work with and help veterans get through on many of our retreat programs at Freedom Alliance.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too, because you know, there are a lot of those veterans who come back with, like you said, the moral injuries, and working you know, in an environment where there is that camaraderie at some of these retreats, like you said, the hunting and fishing and skiing, you know, type events, you get these people together, and that you get that camaraderie almost instantly. You know, it's funny when I am interviewing another veteran on this podcast, we'll start talking, and we may never have spoken before we started the interview. And by the end of the interview, we're talking like we're old friends, you know, and, right, yeah. And a lot of times it's only a half hour conversation. And so, we have that kind of unique bond, I think, you know, amongst the military community and understanding with each other. And I think it's important to be able to bring that together, and that should help with the healing process, I would think. And so, you know, it's great that events like these are available to veterans, and it's something that we can look forward to and look to expand our healing, you know, not just the physical healing, but the mental and the, you know, emotional healing as well.
It's the socialization. We see that all the time, you know, whenever you have an event, whether the two vets have met previously or not, you're right. There is that instant camaraderie, and that's very important. And what people should understand about that is when a veteran comes back having been wounded, you know, when they come back immediately, and I'm going back now, you know, 15, 20 years, and they go into a hospital or a rehab center, they have around them this community of support. They have doctors, they have nurses, they have counselors, and they have other veterans. There was a time at Walter Reed and BAMC and the Naval Hospital in San Diego and so many others where they were filled with veterans who had experienced combat injuries. So they were able to talk to one another. The families were able to talk to one another. And, you know, we civilians have been experiencing this loss of socialization for the last 2 years with this whole COVID and social distancing and shutdown. But what's important for the civilian community to understand is when those veterans leave those hospitals or those rehab centers, those natural communities of support, they go home to a community in which they might be one of the only or the only combat wounded veteran in the area. And it takes organizations like Freedom Lines and so many other great organizations to create those communities, temporary though they may be, where they can come together and be with one another. And it's important for civilians, to the extent that they are able, if they can experience this, to see how much that means to them, how important it is. Because almost every veteran will tell you, hey, when I was in the military, I loved it. I loved being around people with great spirit and optimists and the team mentality. We're all in this together. Misery loves company, whatever it might be. And they don't, when that goes away, it is very difficult to find a similar replacement. And that's what we do at Freedom Alliance. That's a big part of it. Because what they're dealing with is a feeling of loss and despair and a lack of purpose that they need to rediscover. And we help them do that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like to do on this show is to highlight the different organizations who are working to support the military community by highlighting different organizations like Freedom Alliance and others, you know, like you mentioned earlier, we are giving the veterans the opportunity to learn about other programs that are available to them, ultimately, you know, giving them options and providing hope to those veterans who, like you said, might be in a community where they're the only one who may have even been in combat or been, disabled by their experiences in combat or anything like that. So, I think it's important to highlight organizations like Freedom Alliance, talking to you and finding out more about the programs that you offer, the events that you put on, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to give the listeners, the veterans, and their supporters, or their families, the people like that who are listening. It's going to give them more options, and more options is always a good thing, I think. Providing this type of environment for veterans to get together and heal together is a great way to do it. What are some of the other things that Freedom Alliance does? Some of the other ways that they work with the military community and other programs that you might offer?
Sure, Scott. So as I said, we've got our scholarship program, and we started the organization by sending care packages overseas. We still do that. At one time, we were very, very heavily invested in doing hospital visits and rehab visits. But because we don't have a lot of combat veterans in there now, we've shifted toward the retreats. We're also, in some cases, providing mortgage-free homes, vehicles, all-terrain wheelchairs, and programs of that nature. And it's through those retreats and that personal interaction with the veterans where we are able to get to know them a little bit better, find out where they are in their rehabilitative stage and what they might need. So we have a continuum of projects and opportunities with which veterans can get involved with us at different stages. And it's not unusual that we'll provide different kinds of support to a veteran over many years. There are some that we've worked with for a long time. And that's important too. We don't want to be an organization that just says, here's what we're able to do and take it or leave it, to the extent possible. And it's not always possible, but when it is, how can we help you? What is it that, where are you? And if we can't help, perhaps we can refer you to somebody else who has an expertise in that area. But knowing where the veteran is in that rehabilitative stage, they're going through the life stage just like all of us, where you grow up, you change jobs, you get married, you have, your struggles along the way, and putting war injuries on top of those natural struggles that we all face just exacerbates the problem. And that's where the help is needed.
It is, absolutely. And I think that goes back to, what I was talking about before with the financial piece of your children's education and things like that, where that's, obviously that's something that we're all, responsible for. We all have to look into that piece as well. But, where possible, where we can assist the people who have sacrificed for us and given so much for fighting for our country, that just makes sense, to be able to provide that opportunity through scholarships, through, like you said, donating homes or vehicles to combat wounded veterans. I think that's an amazing thing, given the opportunity to be able to do something like that. I mean, that's such a huge relief to these people, and it really does make a world of difference. And when you look back, like you were saying earlier, look back to the Vietnam era where troops were coming home and they were getting spit on and called names and all this other stuff. And that was the level of treatment that they received versus, this level of treatment that the troops are receiving now after 20 years of war. It's just a night and day difference. And it's because of organizations like Freedom Alliance that you're working to provide this. And I think that's just an incredible thing that you're doing and that the country is kind of rallying behind as well, because you wouldn't be able to do this without the support of the people who are supporting the military, through fundraising events and other initiatives that you might have as well.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Scott, it's I think it's important to reflect on this point, because if you go back, what was it, 50 more years ago, during the Vietnam era, that was a very difficult time in our nation's history. And we we made a lot of mistakes. One of them was equating the conflict with the combatant and not being able to distinguish between controversial wars or things we don't agree with those who are willing to serve their nation in whichever way they're called. And so we've learned a lot from that, but even 50 years later, the Vietnam injuries are still being healed. You know, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who represents a district in near Houston in Texas, has just recently introduced a resolution asking the President of the United States to apologize on behalf of the nation to Vietnam veterans. It has wide bipartisan support. And even though it's symbolic, it will mean a lot. When we do our events, I can tell you, when I stand up in front of an audience of veterans, invariably, as I'm talking about the kinds of projects and outreach that I just explained of what Freedom Alliance does, there is always at least one Vietnam veteran in the audience who has a tear in his eye and who might come up to you afterwards and say, I want to thank you so much for all that you're doing. So seeing this support for OEF and OIF veterans means as much, if not more, to the Vietnam veteran as it does to the current generation. And the current generation appreciates it, and I think will appreciate it even more as time goes on. But it's the organizations that are doing it. And now with this new technology, Scott, the podcast like Drive On Podcast also brings so much value because it provides opportunity for veterans to talk to one another, to help each other, to share information through this medium that is extraordinarily helpful to all of them. And so we've made a lot of progress. We have more to do, but we've come a long way in this area. I think it's a historic change. You know, I'm proud that we've played a role in it, but so many great organizations have played a role in it.
Yeah, and you know, going back to that point about the Vietnam veterans who see this support for, you know, even the more recent wars, you know, the veterans of the more recent wars, you know, it kind of makes me think about, you know, some of the soldiers who have gone overseas and were killed. And, you know, sometimes we think, you know, what was the point? Was it all for nothing? You know, what was the, you know, the reason behind it, you know, was there sacrifice made in vain and all that kind of stuff. But when you're in that position where you weren't treated all that well, you know, when you came back home, you know, the Vietnam era, you know, and they look at that and they can probably think to themselves that mistreatment that we had paved the way for future generations to be treated with the respect and the care that they deserve. And so all of that was not in vain. You know, all of that mistreatment that they endured was not all for nothing. It there is some good. There's a silver lining, and while maybe it didn't directly benefit them, they can see that now. You know, and see that the benefit is there for their the brothers and sisters who came after them.
There's no question about that. You're spot on, and I think we have. It's not the same. It's not a perfect analogy, but. Just this year, a little while ago, the United States left Afghanistan in a way that I think left a lot of veterans, especially those who fought in Afghanistan, feeling less than satisfied, to put it mildly. And we saw at Freedom Alliance a spike in the outreach, the phone calls, the emails, the longer phone conversations, the longer meetings that we had with veterans, just to help them through that time. And it's still going on. They're still feeling very hurt and angered and embittered by it. But this generation, those who are feeling those kinds of things today, they're going to help the next generation 10 or 20 or 30 years down the line because they have been through this. And I think, you know, for those who were there and who are struggling with that, I would, for what it's worth, I would offer you should hold your head high and you should be proud of your service and what you did, because you went overseas, you represented our country, you fought for our country, you put your life on the line, and you did your job. And there were a lot of different jobs to do in different stages. So I think depending on when you deployed over there, you really accomplished a lot. If you were in that first wave that went over in 2001, say to 2004, driving the Taliban out, getting Al-Qaeda, you know, just taking care of those who attacked us, you were successful. And then later on, whether it was training the Afghan army or others, you know, you did what you had to do and you did it well. And then there was the humanitarian effort, the counterinsurgency, trying to build relationships with the locals throughout Afghanistan. And Americans did that very well and saved a lot of lives, gave a lot of opportunity to women and children. But in the process, they had to, you, Scott, I mean, you and your fellow veterans, you encountered the worst of humanity in many cases. You went up against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, people who don't value human life the way we do. You saw terrible things. You saw things that nobody should have to contemplate on this earth. And having done so, you carry those scars in your heart, you carry them in your memory, and they're still impacting you. And you know all this, but I'm really speaking to the civilians who may not be as familiar with what we mean by emotional injury or moral injury. Just imagine seeing dynamite strapped to an innocent kid, or having to witness a beheading, or having to smell the aftermath of the burnt human flesh or things of that nature. And those kinds of images, those kinds of memories stay with the veteran for many, many years, and it's difficult to overcome. And that's why organizations like Freedom Alliance and the programs we offer to work through that and get over it are so important and so valuable, because those memories really stifle the progress of what is often said of returning to civilian society, or being able to work, or being the most effective father or husband you can be. And so it's important to address it and address it in a way that is effective. And the VA is not able to do that. And that's not a knock on the VA. They're a ginormous bureaucracy. What we have to do in fixing these problems, it's very personal. It's one-on-one. It's small groups of a half a dozen or less. And that's what we do at Freedom Alliance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just to kind of echo some of what you were saying there, you know, for the people who are having a hard time with, you know, the way we pulled out of Afghanistan and how some of this ended over there. You know, I feel like that one of the things that gets overshadowed and overlooked in all of this is that we took the fight over there to the enemy, to the people who attacked us. We took the fight there and we fought in their backyard so that we didn't have to continue fighting in our backyard. You know, we didn't have planes falling out of the sky for the last 20 years. You know, we didn't have buildings crumbling and thousands of lives lost in a single day in our country, you know, after 9/11. And that's because we were able to take the fight over there and keep the fight there as opposed to here in our own backyards. And so, you know, that's something that I think anyone who served during that time period should be proud of. You know, whether you deployed or not, you still did what your country asked of you. And that was all part of the bigger picture of protecting the country. And that's something that you should definitely be proud of. But, you know, on the other hand, too, you know, there's some people who are saying, well, you know, yeah, sure, we drove the Taliban out and we got them out, but they're back now. So was it even worth it? And, you know, from my point of view, I look at it as, you know, let's say you're diagnosed with a cancer and you go to the doctor and you get it treated and you go through the chemotherapy and you get rid of it. And then 20 years later, it comes back and, you know, you go through the whole process again, and maybe even it takes your life 20 years later. But would the initial treatment be all for nothing? You know, would that have been wasted? Like, no, because it gave you an extra 20 years of life. And so I think it was very much worth it. And so I think of the Taliban as the cancer. And I think of the people of Afghanistan as the patient who was struggling with that cancer. And we were the doctors, you know, we got rid of it for those 20 years. And, you know, that's something, you know, we gave them that bit of life and that freedom for those 20 years. And I think that's also something to be proud of.
Yeah. It's, you know, our military, our armed forces is under civilian control, and civilians, the political leaders certainly have to take responsibility for the way in which we left Afghanistan, and for frankly everything that took place in those 20 years. There was a lot of mistakes made. I know there's an effort in Congress to put together a commission that will kind of review that and see if we can avoid mistakes in the future, but For the service member, they have to understand that focus on what you're able to control and what you are able to influence through your actions. The decisions of the political leaders in Washington is something you cannot control in a direct way. And you went over, you did your job, you did it well, you represented America, and you should be proud of that, because the public is proud of you. We're going to debate for a long time Afghanistan and what happened, what didn't happen, the way we left, all of that. What I think there is no debate on, and why we talked so much about the comparison to the Vietnam era, is because the you soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors, you have the support of the public. You have it in ways that were never imagined during the Vietnam era. The people of this country love you and support you and appreciate you. And they're showing that through organizations like Freedom Alliance. They're showing that in public opinion polls. They're showing that in sharing your frustration. And so know that there are people who care about you and love you beyond your immediate family, and that you have a tremendous amount to offer to this country. It wasn't just your service in Iraq or Afghanistan that for which you gave value to our country. The experiences you have, the training you went through, what you saw and what you learned and what you did needs to be brought back to the United States, into our schools, our businesses, our corporations, our media, our public discussion, so that we, who did not go over, are able to learn from that and not make the same mistakes, or to benefit from what you saw and what you experienced. So know that the value you have to your family, to your community, and to your country is only just beginning. And what you can offer is off the charts and so much more and so much different than we who did not experience that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, just look at anyone's life, you know, look at your own life and think about any success that you had throughout your life, even the smallest things. You know, go back to learning how to tie your shoes or ride a bike. There was failure baked into that success. You know, you fell off the bike at one point and you skinned your knee, or, you know, something. There was some failures along the way, but that led to success. And so you took the lessons learned from those failures and applied that to whatever it was that you're trying to do. And that ultimately led to the growth that you had as an individual. And if we take a look, you know, take a step back and look at the bigger picture and talk about, you know, the conflicts that our country has been involved in, if we take the lessons that we've learned on an individual level and we apply those to the bigger picture, you know, we're able to learn and grow and maybe not make some of those same mistakes, you know, going forward. And so that way we are more successful in the future. So even if you want to accept the fact that maybe this was a huge mistake and we we failed at this this endeavor going overseas for the last 20 years. If that's your mindset and you want to accept that, fine, okay, deal, you know, have that mindset, but recognize that those failures that we may have had could lead to bigger successes in the future by applying some of these lessons. And so, you know, even in that mindset, I still think that we have some success to be seen in the future based on everything that we've done in the past.
No question. And Scott, I'll just give one example. You know, I think a lot of your audience probably heard of something called a veterans court. And what these are special courts or special sessions of court in the legal system, in which veterans who have been charged with a crime or a misdemeanor or things like that are able to go into court with an advocate and a judge who take into account their deployments, their PTS, their anxiety, their traumatic brain injury, the stressors they have that they have because of combat, and in adjudicating their crime or their circumstance, they're able to consider those factors and come to a more just conclusion because of the service. Now, there are veterans who have come home and who have gone through the normal legal system and gotten a raw deal because of all of their experiences combat. You know, some of the what they were charged with was directly related to their TBI or stressors from combat and led them into being before a judge. But those veterans worked with the authorities, worked with the legal system, worked with practiced attorneys, and are creating and establishing these courts all over the country so that veterans are able to get a, not necessarily more sympathetic, but a more complete understanding of the circumstances around which these issues have occurred. And it is because of a veteran who had a heart for community service and applying the lessons learned overseas that these courts are existing and multiplying throughout the country. That's just one example, but there are many more in corporate America, certainly in the nonprofit area, where those who have come home from Iraq or Afghanistan are making tremendous improvements in our community through these kinds of systems.
Yeah, and that I think all of that is really great. I think we need more, you know, compassion and more understanding, not just about, you know, how to fight a war, but also how to deal with the troops who are coming back home, oftentimes with, you know, physical, mental injuries that need addressing as well. So I think all of this is really great. You know, and I really think that everything that the Freedom Alliance is doing, you know, in addition to other nonprofits, is working to address some of those needs that we're just talking about there. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about the Freedom Alliance. You know, it's been really great learning about some of the programs that you have to offer. For anyone who wants to either take part in some of the services or events that you have to offer, or who is looking to support the Freedom Alliance through, you know, donations or other things like that, where can they go to find out more information, make a donation, and find out more about the programs that you offer?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. The best way is through our website at freedomalliance.org. That's freedomalliance.org is our website. And on that website, you'll be able to find a place where you can make a donation. We exist on the generosity of the American public, by and large, and you make it possible for us to provide these programs. There's also an application on freedomalliance.org in which the veteran or the military or the family member can find, it's a universal application that says, you know, here are the different things that we do and what kind of assistance might you be interested in. And so we'll look at that and find what we have available at the time and see what, you know, who we're able to help in what ways. So through freedomalliance.org, either a donation or to find the application is the best way to go. We're also on most social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our Facebook page is our most robust day-to-day of what we're up to. And you can find me on Twitter and LinkedIn as well.
That's great. And I will have links to everything that you just talked about there in the show notes, all your social media links and your website. So anyone who's looking to check it out, you can check out the show notes, click through on there. You don't have to jot all that down as you're driving in the car, because that would just be dangerous. So let's not do that. But again, thank you, Tom, for joining me and for coming on the show and talking about Freedom Alliance. And I think the work that you do is very important. And I think, again, this is another option for the veterans, for their families to get the support that they need and quite frankly deserve. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate all you do. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.